This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. The television landscape is continuing to experience seismic shifts. This week, Dish Network announced it'll soon offer a streaming service that, for the first time, will allow people to have real-time access to networks such as ESPN without a cable or satellite subscription. That announcement comes as more Americans are becoming so-called cord cutters, eliminating their cable TV subscriptions in favor of a la carte options. But understanding those options, along with choices in internet and phone service, is increasingly tricky. The cover feature in the January Milwaukee Magazine tries to make sense of the telecommunications world here. Managing editor Tim McCormick and senior editor Matt Rohde are here to share the details. Welcome to you both.
Thanks so much for having us.
Hi, glad to be here.
Well, let me ask you a big question here. Is the Milwaukee area a good place to be for connectivity?
It's somewhat. I can take this question. I feel having had some experience with family members. And the research proved this out too. The closer you are to Milwaukee, there are some bright spots, but the closer you are to the city itself, you seem to get faster speeds. Once you get out into Washington County or areas of Waukesha County, it gets pretty spotty. Mequon and Franklin have pretty high average speeds, and those are actually a bit higher than in the city of Milwaukee. So we have kind of a donut effect, like we do with politics, of not that we're drawing any kind of extended connection, but of greater connectivity inside the city and then a little bit not so fast outside.
Well, and it was interesting to see that within the region and even nationally, Wisconsin fares pretty well, and Milwaukee and Madison do well as far as cities go in the region.
I think with Milwaukee and Madison, we had found, and generally speaking on a national level as well, if you have big major universities, that infrastructure is there for pretty obvious reasons.
What were you hoping to bring together through the series of articles? They're not just about the internet here. This is about tech services in general. But what were you hoping to turn this set of features into?
We found that tech services actually have a strong local component. When this idea was getting kicked around in the magazine, we thought, oh, these are national companies, national services. The internet is about as international an entity as you can get. What's different about Wisconsin and Milwaukee? But we found that where you're living has a huge difference in your broadband capabilities, your phone service, which company for a cell phone provider might be superior over another one. And that these different geographical factors had a huge bearing on what services were available to you.
And in fact, one of the things that you did was report on the reliability and speed of the various cellular carriers. And I was amazed to know that, you know, there's actually a company out there that measures that stuff.
There are a couple have been running for a few years, and people download the app on their phone. And they give it permissions, and as they walk around, it'll ping back to test servers and build these pretty extensive maps that will show you down to the street level where the best speeds are, the best connectivity is for your cell phone or other mobile device. And what it found is in Milwaukee, AT&T tends to be the most reliable by a small margin, and then Verizon tends to be the fastest. Both companies came with that, ended up with that, those general conclusions.
Well, and you're right about the big four, and none of them is especially horrible. It seemed from looking at the article.
They said T-Mobile has been investing a lot in their infrastructure, which comes down to putting more fiber optic cable in the ground and really building up because people use so much bandwidth these days. And even on their phones.
Especially on their phones, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now you mentioned fiber optics, and this is a good transition. You wrote about the city of Shawano, which set out to kind of be the connected capital of the state of Wisconsin well before a lot of other places caught into it. What did Shawano see in the future of connectivity in that city, and what did it accomplish?
They rode the early broadband wave in 2006 and got a $4 million bond referendum approved, which gave them the money they needed to build a fiber optic network underneath Shawano that would be owned and operated as a local utility. This didn't work out so great as far as being able to recoup their investment. So it's now operated by Insight, which is a telecom company based out of Northeast Wisconsin that's pretty big. One of their subsidiaries runs Cellcom, which is a popular cell phone provider in those areas. But still, if you want really fast, like well upwards of 10 megabytes per second internet access, Shawno is kind of the place to go.
Now, years ago, there was a pilot project in Milwaukee to give everyone Wi-Fi service. That has not happened. Is anyone making a noise about it becoming a possibility in the future? And are there other cities in Wisconsin that are fully connected in that way?
We spent a fair amount of time checking into that. And it was a topic that seemed pretty dead, that the ground was pretty fallow on public Wi-Fi. And it seemed like a kind of a fad of the past that may have passed into the great beyond.
One of the things that was interesting, you know, you write a lot about the various options that people have in a variety of arenas. But when it comes to regular old phone service, it's actually pretty limited, right?
For residential customers, when you want to have 1, 2, maybe 3 lines of copper, it's not that lucrative for small to medium-sized telecom companies to go after those customers, so they don't for the most part. If you're a small business, you have a number of these companies that might be knocking down your door saying, hey, we can do this for you. We're a phone call away. You don't have to wade through chains of customer service representatives at regional outpost of national telecom company A, B, or C. So if you're a small business, we found that they're called competitive local exchange carriers. And
there are a lot of acronyms that you write about.
Yeah, right.
And we do provide a glossary there. So in case you aren't quite up to speed on all these terms, it's kind of easy to digest that way.
Well, and you know, that actually spurs a question. I imagine as you guys were kicking around this idea in story meetings, there's a lot that people probably really just don't understand about what's out there.
There was a lot that we didn't understand. Right. And I found in past reporting that the telecom industry is insidiously complex, and you have mergers and different kinds of companies. And there's a telecom deregulation bill that went through the state legislature a few years ago that was very important. And you have the State Public Service Commission that still has oversight in some areas. When it comes to phone companies, it usually has to do with larger size deal. It's not like, hey, I'm getting screwed on my bill, but hey, this other phone company is screwing me over. They tend to still be regulating on that level to make sure that if you move phone companies, you can keep your old phone number. And if Company A owns the lines in one area and Company B needs to complete a call in that area, they can do that sort of thing. And so it's just like this web of political. One expert we spoke to described it as social, political, technical, you name it.
This is a well-timed conversation when it comes to talking about choice for television, because just this week I know Dish Network announced that it's going to provide a new streaming service that will include some sports channels, which you kind of forecast in this article as well. There are a lot of choices, obviously, in a variety of areas in TV service. But are the options, did you find, are they really leading to lower costs yet?
I think if you're willing to do more of an a la carte service, which I think many in the industry are going to admit that that's where we're moving to. So yes, you can save on your bill that way, especially with this week as well. I think it was Time Warner locally announced that they're going to have to increase the fees because of live sports programming. So if you want to get just ESPN and you don't care about Food Network or whatever the case may be, you can buy those single streaming services. HBO Go, I think, is also offering the same type of service. Then it does get cheaper for you, because do you really need 1,000 channels? Probably not. You don't have enough time in the day to watch all those.
You might not.
So if you want, you know, it's just like everything else. We're becoming much more of a niche audience with whatever we want to deliver or whatever content you're talking about. And so that in that way, you definitely can save some dollars.
Of course, at the end of the day, to use one of these streaming services, you still also have to be paying for high-speed internet.
That's true.
You kind of reviewed, if not reviewed, certainly gave a sense for what's in all the various set-top options. You know, what are the set-top box options that are leading the way at this point?
Roku really came out on top when we did some comparisons just for breadth of choice. And you pay $50 to $100 off the bat. You have the box, sort of like you do with Apple TV. which we found to be a bit dated by comparison. Chromecast is popular because it's cheap and easy. If you can get your Wi-Fi configured correctly to work with it, it's $35. You just plug in a little thing. Looks like a flash drive. The other service options like Netflix tend to carry a monthly cost with them, which can add up and isn't as appealing to some people who like the one-off, get the set-top box and be done with it option.
I wonder if anyone has come up with the idea of just starting a consulting company where people could go and say, you know, this is what I want and, you know, tell me what I ought to do.
It was not a bad idea for an internet startup to do some kind of portal where you can get these different questions asked. Or you could come to our website at milwaukeemag.com and explore this service package we have
here. Pick up the issue.
Yeah.
Well, and hopefully you won't have to spend any time on hold reaching a Milwaukee Magazine operator.
Well, it depends on whose line you call.
Matt, Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tim McCormick is managing editor, and Matt Rohde is a senior editor at Milwaukee Magazine. The magazine's features on the telecommunications industry in Wisconsin make up the cover story in the January issue. Keep listening when Lake Effect returns. A Wisconsin writer chronicles the lives of people growing up and choosing to stay in El Salvador in the face of some tough challenges. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.